The book of Ephesians, and Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and as we said last week, we'll be ready for verse 12 this week. After instructing us to walk worthy, admonishing us to walk worthy of the vocation, the calling wherewith we are called, and then telling us how that is, that worthy walk, that walk that is worthy of our calling, in lowliness and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing one another in love, and laboring diligently, fervently, to keep the unity of the Spirit. Spirit does not lead in disunity. We've said many times in the course of this study, it does not lead the members of His body to ever be in disunity. So, we've said often, when you get at odds with me or I get at odds with you, one of us is not walking right, and it may just be the both of us not walking right. And then he gives us some examples of why we ought to be endeavoring to walk as one body. And that was because there is one body, there's one Spirit, there's one hope, there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, one God, and Father of every one of us. Yes. Members of His church. And he said in verse 7, where is the Roman numeral point 3 that we began with, the gifts given to the body. He's given every one, unto every one of us, gifts, the grace of gifts, according to the measure of Christ. According as Christ determines that I want to have, according as Christ determines that you, each member of the body, ought to have, of Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, ought to have. He gives us a broad example of how this is. Wherefore, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive. As example would be in reference quoted from David's writings in the Psalms, of David as a conquering king, conquering general, being the victor, and leading the captives up to the city of David, and giving the spoils of victory unto His constituents. The Lord Jesus Christ has done that. Led captivity captive. Amen. Sin, death, the grave, Satan, led him captive. Amen. And He's given gifts unto us. Amen. As men. And then He gives us some examples of the gifts that He's given. In verse 11, and He gave some apostles, that is, some men He gifted with the ability to be an apostle. Not all. And that apostle was a gift to the church. Amen. And some men He gifted with the ability to be prophets or prophecy. The looking into the Old Testament and expounding on how that portrayed Christ. That's all they had at that time. Those two offices have passed away with the completing of the Word of God. The book of Revelation, John, the last apostle, the last surviving apostle, and his death. Those two offices in the church, which were gifts to the church, they were gifts given to those men to be a gift in the church. And then he given the gift to some men to be evangelists. Pointed out last week that Brother Ron is a type of evangelist going to the jail weekly and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to those in the prison there. But we failed to point out Brother Jesse last week. Brother Jesse is an evangelist going to the nursing home bi-monthly to preach the gospel to those there in the nursing home. Of course, even on a broader scope, Brother Bob Jones is an evangelist. His title, Bob Jones Evangelist. And he goes around, and he goes around primarily to different churches and different places preaching the gospel. And so as a result, primarily his message is the gospel. That is the work of an evangelist, as the word is defined for us. And then pastors and teachers, pastors, teachers. In other words, pastors, according to the qualifications given to us in 1 Timothy 3, they're to be apt to teach. And so, not to re-preach that message, but we're ready for verse 12 today. Verse 12 said, these gifts that were given, and particularly as it refers to the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. And every member in the body of Christ has been set there and given a gift for this purpose. Mm-hmm. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And we won't get through that verse today. The purpose for the gifts. This is the fifth point under Roman numeral 3, if you're taking notes. The purpose for the gifts. And let us not be guilty of thinking that the ones mentioned in verse 11 are the only ones which are to contribute to this work, as we've tried to make it clear already. Every one of us that have been set in this body, and we've been given grace according to the measure of Christ to minister for this purpose. You see, and when we think of it in that light, we're considering the text. We're considering all the instructions that have gone before, and even into the third chapter, and even what he said in chapter 2. You see, it is the responsibility of every church member of Grace Baptist Church, each member in the body, to contribute to the effectiveness of the whole body, which is local. This whole body. This is the body of Christ here at 620 Palm Edel Avenue.
Amen.
Melbourne, Florida.
Amen.
And we're to be contributing to that effectiveness unto every one of us.
Amen.
Verse 7. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, for the perfecting of the saints, he said. The perfecting of the saints. That word perfecting means for the complete furnishing, the complete equipping of the saints. You see, I am to be a member in Grace Baptist Church using my gift to further the complete furnishment, the complete equipping of all the saints. You, as a member of Grace Baptist Church, are to be doing the same. Mm-hmm. The complete equipping, the complete furnishing. These gifts given to these men to fulfill their office was so that his body, which was local, the church at Ephesus, is who these instructions were given to. Today, those instructions are given to the church at 620 Palmetto Avenue, Melbourne, Florida. That each local church might be brought to complete furnishings. Let's look at a passage of Scripture in the book of Hebrews and receive some instruction from it. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews in chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, do you understand that? Mm-hmm. Leaving the beginnings. The beginnings of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on unto perfection. Let us go on to that perfect man. Let us go on to that completeness. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, as it pertained to these Hebrews, these Judaizers. Not laying again the foundation of repenting from your works in Judaism and depending that that was going to be sufficient to get you to heaven, to get you eternal life in our day and time. It would be, say, not laying the foundation of repenting from thinking that you could muster up some kind of good work that would merit you heaven. As men do today. They think they're trusting in their perceived good works. Which God said is filthy rags. Here he said they're dead works. There's no life in them.
Amen.
And of faith toward God. In other words, you need to repent of your trusting in your works and have faith toward God.
Amen.
He says that's the foundation.
Amen.
That's the beginning of the doctrine of Christ. Those things we realized when we came to repentance and faith in Christ. Look at verse 12 of chapter 5. He said, for when for the time you ought to be teachers.
He said, at this time now, at the time of his writing, he's writing to some that should have been able to teach.
But not so. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, we got to keep teaching you the first beginnings, the first things concerning salvation, concerning repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, of the oracles of God, and are come such as have need of milk. He likens it to a baby. Mm-hmm. That has need of milk. Well, by the time that child's a year old,
he better be needing something more than just milk. Yeah. By the time he's 2 years old, he definitely better be needing something more than just milk. That's what he's saying.
Amen.
And so then in verse 14 he says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
In other words, you need to go on from repentance and dead works and faith and toward God. And you need to go on into the deeper things of the Word of God. You need to go on, not just the doctrines of grace, but how those doctrines, believing those doctrines of grace, apply to holiness.
Amen.
Living a life of holiness. How the teaching of the Lord's church leads to a life of holiness in Christ Jesus. You see,
he calls it on to perfection.
Leaving the principles, leaving the beginnings of those things. Let us go on to perfection,
he said. This word for the perfecting of the saints, this word comes from a word that means to render. That is to fit. And the root word of these words is according to. So what is he telling us here? Our complete furnishing is to be rendered fit according to God our Father. That's the ultimate end.
Am I pleasing my Father which is in heaven?
Amen.
Are you pleasing your Father which is in heaven? Well,
this isn't in my nose. But how do we know that? Well, let's take a look. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Who stated this?
Jesus did. And who's Jesus?
My Lord.
He said, I and my Father are one.
Amen.
He's God. And he said,
you want to please your Father in heaven? Be ye therefore perfect. There's no other translation for that. It has be perfect. Is God perfect?
Amen.
There's no unrighteousness with him.
Amen.
He's perfect. I'm to be like that. You're to be like that. We're to be striving towards that. So when I'm walking pleasing to him, I'm being perfect as he's being perfect. Now we all admit, but we don't always do that, do we? No, that's why, one of the reasons why we have 1 John 1:9. We fall down on our faces before him, confessing our sin, knowing that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Thank God there's cleansing.
Amen.
With him. But I'm to be working towards that. And we'll have more to say maybe next week, maybe the next week on this too. Because it's a continuing thought in this verse. But look with me at Proverbs chapter 4, which really bears out the light of this to us. And no, I don't make puns that way. I mean, it just came out. And you know what I'm talking about after we read this verse. Proverbs 4 and verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Oh, what a great truth this is. Did you grasp it? Do you understand what he's saying here? He's saying, yeah,
it's shining now. The moment Jesus came into your heart, the moment you were a changed individual, became a member of the Graves Baptist Church, you set your light in that candlestick. There was light there. But it is to shine brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter.
Amen.
Until that perfect day. Oh, what day is it talking about? It's talking about the day when we stand and behold him face to face.
Amen.
And we're as he is. Perfect. No more imperfections whatsoever. That perfect day.
You see. What a blessed truth is there. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. In chapter 7. Second Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Having therefore these promises. Well, what promises? Well, the things he promised before. Specifically about if we'll not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, if we'll come out from among them and be separate. And he will be our father. We'll be his children. Oh, what a blessing. We
don't have time to go into all of the thoughts that are associated with being his children. You see, children speaks of the father. And a special attraction, special affection that is there to the Father. But it speaks of an inheritance as well.
Amen.
You see, having therefore these promises, all these are promises. Ephesians 1 talks about the blessings that are in Christ Jesus. Grace, mercy, peace. These are great, precious promises that we have in Christ Jesus.
And on, they're innumerable. You and I can't count them all. But we should be at least aware of them as we experience them. You see?
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse our souls. You see, there's a responsibility for me to be cleansing myself. There's a responsibility there for you to be cleansing yourself. How do we do that? Ought to be doing it now.
Yes.
While we're sitting here listening to the Word from God given. These aren't the words of Seth Bourne. Well, you're hearing me speaking, but
I trust I have the message from God. The other way is the times you're not in the services, times you're not under the preaching of the Word, you have the Word before you. That's the blessed thing of having the completed Word of God that we can daily go to, we can daily read and think upon. Meditate. Let it work in us. Let it cleanse our lives daily from all filthiness. Not just what we want it to cleanse us from. Oh, you know, we harbor those little things. But I don't really want to let go of that. This flesh really likes it. All filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Perfecting holiness. Folks, because we're... Holiness is not perfected yet in my daily walk. I ought not to be satisfied. I want that holiness perfected in my life. So there's a continuing on, a continuing pursuit after it. You see, as we're told in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 14, pursue holiness, you see, in the fear of God.
Let me ask, and I ask myself this question. You've heard me say it before. Do you fear God? Well, yeah, I revere God. I stand on. Well, let's just use that definition then. How much do you revere God? Your life will depict how much you reverence God. Now let's use the other one. Tremble. Because you know His power. Because you know He is a consuming fire. How much do you believe that? How much do you and I fear God? You see, if we really feared Him as we ought, would we do the things we do? Would we say the things we say that we ought not to do, ought not to say? You see,
in the fear of God. Turn with me to James, the book of James, in chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 4.
But let patience... Oh, yeah. Used to hear, I haven't heard it recently, but I'm sure the thoughts are there still in a lot of people's minds.
I don't really want patience. Because it's tribulation that worketh patience. And I really don't want to go through any tribulation.
But let patience have her perfect work.
God desires patience in you and I.
Going back to Ephesians 4, how are we going to be walking in lowliness and meekness, long suffering, if we don't have that patience? You see, I need patience to put up with you. You need patience to put up with me. We need patience to put up with one another, to walk in humility and gentleness of spirit. To be long-suffering with one another. To lift them up in love. We need patience. Another thing we need patience for, we look at this evil, wicked world.
Yeah.
And all the events of the past couple weeks and the pandemic that's been created out there. And we say, oh, can't believe the Lord's coming is very far at hand. Well, 1854, Spurgeon's day, they had a cholera outbreak. Killed a lot of people. Much more people than this virus has done. Spurgeon continued to minister to his flock. Some of his flock came down with cholera. He went to visit them, trusting the Lord. I'm in your hands, Lord. I'm doing your calling. I'm doing your bidding. I'm going to fulfill my task. I'm going to visit them. Either you'll keep me safe from the cholera, or you'll permit me to come down with it and take me home to be with you. Nonetheless, I'm going to do it serving you. You see? We need patience to wait on the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
Patience. And that patience ought to cause us to be serving the Lord while we're waiting for Him. See, and you can read that in the book of Hebrews as well, chapter 10. Let's finish reading this verse. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see? We don't like the tribulation that we have to go through to get patience. But we got to have the tribulation to get the patience to have the perfection. You see, being made more like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. Here he says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Love that thought, don't you? After that ye have suffered a while. That ye have suffered a while. Make you perfect. Render you complete in Him. Establish, strengthen, and settle you. After you suffered a while. We're to be moving on towards perfection. Look at what the Holy Spirit tells us, and certainly ought to be words of encouragement to us. Tells us through the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, in chapter 3.
verse 12 through 15, he said, "Not as though I had already attained." That is, he was looking for perfection. He was looking for attaining perfection. He was desirous to know Christ in a greater way, even to be partakers of his suffering. What did that mean, partaker of his sufferings? Christ was crucified on a cross. Often, even to die on a tree as he did.
And they did crucify. No, they beheaded Paul, didn't they? Was it Peter who was crucified? Peter was crucified, requested to be upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified the way the Lord was. The power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended in Christ, of Christ Jesus. What is he saying here?
He says, I've been pursuit of it. I'm following after it. I'm trying to attain unto it. Knowing that one day he was going to apprehend it.
I read this and I wonder about my life.
Yeah, amen.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul didn't have a pleasant past. No, he had a magnificent resume. Boy, one to be proud of. He said, that's nothing. He says, that's dung. He said, forgetting those things and moving on. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto that the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, who are complete in justification, but not in sanctification. Complete in justification. Those of us who are perfect in our standing with God.
Amen.
But not necessarily our state. Be thus minded. What do you mean, thus minded? Not as though I've attained perfection, but I'm running after it. I'm in pursuit of it, that I might attain it, knowing I am going to attain it.
Amen.
And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. In other words, if you're not minded that, know that God would reveal it to you. That you'll be thus minded. That you'll be striving and moving on towards perfection. Well, we'll quit there today. That's the phrase for the perfecting of the saints. And I know I haven't exhausted that in no way, shape, or form. What was it, 2 years ago? Preached those series of messages on holiness. Perfecting holiness in us. Now we're dealing with it in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, and we'll be dealing with it again in another message or two.
Let us stand, be dismissed in a word of prayer.